Love you, Kevin.
Truly, beyond any doubt, Jesus is alive. And I know he's alive, personally, because his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Two things in this life that I am absolutely, positively, unquestionably, without a doubt, know that, first of all, I'm saved by the grace of God. I go back many times to that time and that place when I found peace and the burden of sin was lifted off of me. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God called me to preach. I was under conviction for several months. Couldn't figure out what it was. I tried to find out, was I not saved? What was it? Did I need to be more faithful? Just what was that conviction? Every service, I was convicted. Finally, one Wednesday night, I got in the altar, and I exhausted everything. And it just come to me. I'm going to tell these people I'm being called to preach. And I couldn't believe God could call me to preach. I skipped school to keep from giving an oral book report. Flunked English for a year and lost credits because I wouldn't get up and give an oral book report. But anyway, I know the Lord called me to preach. And thank God, I know he's alive, and you that know him personally also know that he's alive. His spirit bears witness with yours. When we respond and give in and yield to him, what a joy it is to know that the God of heaven, who created all things and sustains all things, cares about a wretched, miserable sinner like me. Boy, you talk about amazing grace. That is amazing. I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on the results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Resurrection of Christ was the theme of the messages of the early churches. In Acts chapter 1, if you'd like to turn your Bibles there, verses 21 and 22. Acts chapter 1, 21 and 22. The message of the resurrection of Christ was the messages of the early church and early churches. It says, wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, Acts 4:33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. And so the theme of the messages of the early churches was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How that he died, how that he was buried, how that he rose again. And he died because of our sins. He rose again for our justification. In Acts the 17th chapter, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. It is the greatest evidence of the truth of true Christianity today. And true Christianity is made up of the Lord's New Testament churches, those that have a lineage back, those who stand and contend for the truth and uphold the truth of God's word, those who preserve it because it's the truth of God's word concerning Christ and his resurrection that brings the power of God into one's life, that saves his soul. and saves him from the eternal condemnation that awaits all of those who refuse to believe in him. When asked for a sign of the proof of his claims, the Lord Jesus gave his resurrection as the greatest and final evidence. Look with me to the book of John, chapter 2, verses 16 through 22. The Bible says, but he spake of the, let me get where I need to be here. John 2:16 says, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Then in Matthew, the 12th chapter, Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse number 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Then, again, when he was asked, again, he set forth his resurrection as proof and as evidence of who he was and showing forth what he had come to do. It's proof of his deity. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Resurrection is the proof of his deity, or the proof that he is God. Not was, he is. God is not dead, God is alive. And we can write that down in our day books and confirm it on every hand. Romans 1 and 4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Show forth who he was with his power as of the resurrection of the dead. Look at Romans 14 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 14 and verse 9. The Bible says, for this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Amen. Now notice, he both died and rose and revived. He is alive. He is alive. You can rest in that. If Jesus rose from the dead, he is who he claimed to be. And truly he did, and he is. He was and always will be. Because Jesus is God the Son. As the Father is God the Father. As the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit. As the Trinity is made up of these three persons, they're one in every way, fully, completely one in every way except in persons, making up the Godhead that the Apostle Paul, or that the Lord through Paul, confirmed that our God is a three-person God, a triune God. You can believe it. You better believe it. Because Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. And that's the kind of belief that one must have. He rose from the dead, as he claimed, proving that he was and is God. It also proves that Christ really put away our sins. Death can only separate through sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Death had no claim on Christ because he was sinless. He committed no sin. He had no sin nature. And therefore death had no claim on him. But he took our sins, put them upon himself. Look at 1 Peter 2:24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." What do you mean by whose stripes he was healed? It's our stripes. We deserved it because we are sinners, because we are guilty. He didn't have no sin. He was not a sinner. He was not guilty, and he deserved no stripes. So he took upon himself our stripes, that we would not have to perish eternally. He took our sins upon him. Then he made full atonement for our sins. Therefore, death could no longer hold him. No longer was there the bondage. No longer was there the penalty upon man's sins. Through and by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Raised again for our justification. Not his, he needed none, but for ours. He was just. How long? Eternally just. Always was, always is, always will be. And did you know that those who repent of their sins and by faith trust him as Savior will be in the same state as he for eternity? We'll be eternally just. Why? Not because of what we've done, but because what he's done. And his grace made it possible for us to put our faith and trust and believe in what he did on behalf of us, paying the penalty that we owed. Raised again for our justification. Made alive for our justification. It gave to us a living Savior. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. "A dead Christ cannot give or keep us. He is alive." Amen. Hebrews 7, 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost." Did you know that when you were saved, you were completely saved? Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah. I still have this old body, this old nature. It's not saved. Listen, with God, when he starts something, he continues that work to the end. When he promises, he carries it out and never fails. And so therefore, we are assured, those who are repented by faith, trusted Christ as their Savior, who have been born again by the grace of God because of the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ, it is assured that in the near future, we will be totally justified in the sight of God, both body, soul, and spirit. Yeah. Made alive forevermore. He is able to save, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 30 says, And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Now, I don't know about you, But my nature is, if you kill me or one of mine, I'm going to get back at you. That's not God's nature. That's a sinful nature. He doesn't have that nature. He doesn't have that reaction. Thank God that he is that way. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Raised up, exalted to be a savior. No man can save you. No man can take away your sins. God can. And Jesus is God. Therefore, he can. And he will if you'll put your faith and trust in him. If you'll repent and by faith trust him. If you've done that, you're assured, you're guaranteed, you're there. But then you're going to be held accountable for what you do with that which he's given you, that new life. That new life. The resurrection is the basis of power and holiness in life. Look at Romans 6, verses 10 and 11 says, "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." How do we live forever? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other way. That's why he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. No man can ascend into heaven but by him." He liveth. Likewise reckon ye that we're alive. He was alive unto God. Then in Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, by any means, if I by any means, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I may know the power of the resurrection." To attain unto the resurrection of the dead, to overcome death, hell, and the grave through the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Now, it's wonderful that the resurrection of Christ brought the power for us to be made alive once again, who are dead in trespasses and in sins. And we're there, we're assured, but it hasn't come yet. It'll come in God's own time. The completion of our salvation and perfection of our life will come when Jesus comes in the clouds of the air, and all of those that are in Christ will be taken out of here. Amen. Then we'll have our complete salvation and our perfection. Until then, we have sin to deal with. And the way that we overcome sin after that, he's made us alive, and we've overcome that old sin nature that's going to drag us into eternal death. Through obedience to him and submitting to scriptural baptism, New Testament church membership, and being in a place where we can give him glory, that helps us to overcome the physical results and punishment of sin. It makes us to be able to avoid the chastening of God through Jesus Christ, the power of his resurrection. It's a guarantee of our own resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is a guarantee of our own resurrection. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14 2 Corinthians 4:14, the Bible says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14. And God saith both, or rather, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. By that God-man, Jesus, came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, again, we're talking about the guarantee of our own resurrection. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, and we believe with all of our heart and trust in him and what he has done, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Jesus died and rose again. Be assured, if he died and rose again, even so shall we that believe and trust in him will also raise again. Amen. It assures the world of future judgment. Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. What's that standard of righteousness? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Therefore, all men have an opportunity and are able to be raised again from the dead. Amen. Unto life. Yes. There's also a resurrection of the dead. Those who refuse to believe and trust in him, but it's not unto life. Right. It's unto death. Right. Eternally. Separated from God and all that's good, suffering eternally and forevermore. Listen, be assured that there still is judgment that's coming, and the resurrection of Christ confirms and shows you the power that is going to bring about that resurrection. No, man is always trying to do something to get himself right to where he can escape eternal death. There's nothing that man can do. Jesus did it all. All you have to do is believe with your heart that he died, buried, and rose again. And believe with all of your heart that he did it for you and for me. He died because of your sin. He rose again for our justification. Look at Acts 10, verses 40 through 42. Him God raised up the third day, showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living, of the quick, and the dead. He rose, ordained of God, to be the judge. After all, he deserves it because he is just, and a just one will judge justly or righteously. There's no justice in our courts today in this society. You got enough money, you can get away with murder. But there will be justice in the courts of Jesus. There will be justice, and he will judge justly. And listen, those that he has to condemn, he won't do it with pleasure. People, men misunderstand. They think that God punishing man gives him, it doesn't give him any pleasure. Of course, you got to become a grandpa or a great grandpa in order to see this thing with the kids. You know, the kids always think when they get punished that it's unjust. Our society today thinks it's unjust to punish children. That's why we got all the turmoil and the trouble that we have in this world today. Because people don't want to face reality. You got to break that rebellious spirit in those kids. And by the way, just banging on the diaper or smacking them or something doesn't get the job done. You got to break that rebellious spirit. Well, I disagree with that. Read your Bible. Book of Proverbs will give it to you. If you just believe. Lost friend, he'll save your soul if you'll just believe. Where do you find that? In the Bible. Yeah. It's that simple, but yet it's so hard for sinful man. That's because he don't want to put God on the throne. He wants to exalt himself. That's where the real problem comes in. He was raised to sit on David's throne. 2 Samuel 7 verse 16 says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Then in Acts 2, 30 and 31, "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." And by the way, folks, he did not go into the fiery, flaming part of hell. Nonsense. And I hear every once in a while a little bit of breeze come by that some of our folks believe he went down there and he didn't. Listen, that place was made for sinners. That place was made for taking away or for the punishment of sins and continuing to refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. Listen, he went down to that compartment there where there was a great gulf fix in Abraham's bosom, and he preached to those saints that were taken out of here in the flood. The Bible clearly brings it out. If you'll just believe it, you'll just accept it. All right, Luke 1, verse 32. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And for 1,000 years he shall rule and he shall reign." The resurrection of Christ broke the power of death. Revelation 1 verse 18. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18 says, "I am he that liveth and was dead." Did he die? Oh yes. Did he die in his entirety? Oh yes. Why? Because any lost sinner that goes into eternity without Jesus will suffer in their entirety. And he took the place of those that believe and trust in him so they'd not have to suffer in their entirety. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And have the keys of hell and of death." If you got the keys, you got the power. He was dead, but I am alive, he says, and I have the keys of death and of hell. Then Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 8 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" That place we were talking about, where that compartment where it was Abraham's bosom, and where there's a great gulf between there and the fires and flames and the outer darkness of hell. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, ascended up above. We got a telescope that's discovering all kinds of things out there. And my, there must be other beings on those planets. You know what? Those planets are up there to reflect the light of the sun, and everything above, in, and below was for the benefit of the earth. Why? Because of man. The only creation that God made in his image and likeness. Ain't nothing else out there but that. You get on beyond that, that's eternity. That's where God dwells. And their telescopes aren't going to see beyond that. Or even out to that. All right. Let's look at John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Did I read the right scripture? Okay, that's the first thing today I've done right. Anyhow, he's alive. Because he's alive, we can have joy. Not fun. People today think fun is joy. No. Fun is combating the misery of sin and overpowering that with our will and occupying ourselves with something that will ease it. But listen, joy is complete, full satisfaction, contentment, and a peace that passes all understanding, where that one can abide fully. You that are saved, that peace between you and God, you've got that presence always there, that's joy. But you've also got that misery of the old flesh and Satan and his influence. Brother, that peace is the joy that he brought with his resurrection. Believers, one day is going to, are one day going to be translated into a peace and a joy that will last forever. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that ascended up for above all heavens, that he might fill all things, that he might fulfill the promises that he made of giving us that peace and that joy, of bringing it to pass, that we will completely and entirely be able to not only have joy, but have the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy is that which all of us desire and should desire. Because listen, there's no peace. They're going to cry peace, peace, but there will be no peace on this earth. There's no real joy on this earth. That joy is to come. And it is assured and will come because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. If you're here this morning, the Spirit of God has convicted your heart. You need to come to Jesus. Come, repent of your sins, and by faith trust him as your Savior. If you're here and you're lost, if you're saved, you need to follow him in scriptural baptism, that you might qualify for him to add you to a New Testament church. Whatever the need is in your life, you have sin that's robbing you of the joy of salvation, that's robbing you of the peace that because of the conviction of the Spirit and the condemnation of that sin. You need to confess your sin. He'll be faithful and just to forgive you, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you're here to know the Lord as your Savior, you need to come and submit to scriptural baptism and New Testament church membership. Whatever the need is, if you're here to member of the church and you really don't have the joy of your salvation, come, confess. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you and give you that joy. What should we sing?
385.
Whatever the need is, Jesus awaits you. Thank you for your attendance and attention. I hope you have a good Easter day. I hope that you'll set the example for your loved ones if you gather with them that are lost or that are not in church serving the Lord, and that you will pray over your meal, and that you'll take every opportunity that you have to talk to them, tell them about Jesus and their need.